From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, January 16th. Coming up, children with sickle cell disease rely on penicillin to prevent life-threatening infections. But recently, some are struggling to find it. We'll learn why some pediatric sickle cell doctors are concerned in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois lawmakers were unable to pass a measure to limit how much interest pawnbrokers can charge in this month's lame duck session. Alex Stegman reports.
The bill would have capped the maximum annual interest rate for pawn shop transactions at 36%, down from roughly 240%. But Brent Adams with the nonprofit Woodstock Institute says the pawn industry successfully mobilized against it.
They did an effective job of making the bill about shutting down pawn shops, which it wasn't. All the evidence shows that the pawn industry would survive under a 36% rate cap, partly because it did so for over 80 years in Illinois.
Pawn shops say they do issue loans using a 36% interest rate cap, but the Pawnbroker Regulation Act lets them charge extra fees for things like security and insurance on the pawned items. I'm Alex Stegman.
The candidates on the April 4th ballot for mayor of Champaign have all been on the ballot before, including former Mayor Don Girard. The retired University of Illinois facilities manager previously served as mayor from 2011 to 2015. He says since then, the city has neglected its north end, delaying much-needed flood control and other infrastructure projects.
When you have sterling credit, I think that we can afford to do some bonding and get those projects going. Plus, you're putting people to work. I mean, you're creating jobs in addition to repairing those neighborhoods.
Girard says when he was mayor, he led successful efforts to set up the city's electric aggregation program and worked with the Unit 4 school district to establish a summer youth employment program. In addition to Girard, incumbent Deb Frank Finan is seeking a third term as Champaign mayor, and Azark David Cobbs is making a second run for the office. Champaign County's Martin Luther King Jr. celebration continues this morning with the annual Unity Breakfast. It begins at 8:30 at the Vineyard Church on North Lincoln Avenue in Urbana. The University of Illinois' annual MLK Day of Service begins at 11 a.m. at the Illini Union I Rooms. Volunteers will be paired with a community organization for a service project. Then at noon, there's a Martin Luther King Walk for Peace at King Park in Urbana. That will start in the park's pavilion on West Washer Drive. Organizers say parking is available at King School and along Washer Drive. Refreshments will be provided by the Urbana Park District and Cunningham Township. The Fighting Illini men's basketball team has won three straight Big Ten Conference games after defeating Michigan State Friday night. Illinois Student Newsroom's Colin Hyslope has more.
The Illini look to continue their winning streak as they travel to Minneapolis to play the Minnesota Golden Gophers tonight at 5 p.m. Head coach Brad Underwood spoke after last Friday's win about his relationship with the Illini players.
Why would I want to force something that they're not comfortable with? I talk to those guys a lot. And I think one of the things that I try to do is find what's good for everybody within the framework of what we're doing.
The Illini are 12-5 overall and 3-3 in Big Ten conference play. Minnesota enters the contest with the worst record in the Big Ten. They are 7-8 overall and 1-4 in Big Ten conference play. I'm Colin Hyslope, Illinois Student Newsroom.
Still to come, a closer look at how a penicillin shortage could affect children with sickle cell disease. That story from Side Effects Public Media is coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Children with sickle cell disease rely on daily doses of penicillin to prevent life-threatening infections. But lately, some are finding it harder than ever to fill their prescriptions. Side Effects Public Media's Fada Yousri reports on why some pediatric sickle cell doctors are concerned.
As recently as the 1980s, nearly one in three children with sickle cell disease died before their fifth birthday. That's until a landmark clinical trial found that two doses of penicillin every day for the first few years of the child's life slashed rates of life-threatening infections by more than 80%. Dr. Sheethal Jacob is a pediatric hematologist who treats children with sickle cell disease at Riley Children's Hospital in Indianapolis. For several weeks now, she's been hearing from families who are struggling to fill their kids' penicillin prescriptions. She says this could spell disaster.
I'm worried that I'm going to be seeing more of our patients in the hospital with serious bacterial infections, and obviously significantly concerned that some of them may become so ill that they would pass.
An infection that causes mild illness in other children can cause serious illness or worse in a child with sickle cell if they're not getting their regular doses of antibiotic medication. This is what keeps Mary Warlow up at night. Her baby Caleb is 6 months old and he has sickle cell disease. She's been religiously giving him his penicillin, but early December he went a few days without it because Warlow couldn't easily find a pharmacy in Indianapolis that had the medicine in stock.
They'll say it's in stock and then we'll go pick it up and they'll be like, we don't have anything, or we had it, but you didn't come in time, so someone else got it.
The FDA tracks drug shortages and has not indicated that there is a shortage of penicillin, but anecdotal reports from patients and providers at hospitals across the country, including Missouri, Georgia, and Alabama, suggest a shortage may be looming. Providers at hospitals in some of those states told Side Effects they were recently warned that liquid penicillin stocks are running low and advised to look for other alternatives, like penicillin tablets or entirely different drugs. Dr. Monica Hulbert at St. Louis Children's Hospital in Missouri says the second best option if a child can't get penicillin is to prescribe an antibiotic called amoxicillin.
And I did try to do that last week, and that was unsuccessful.
Unsuccessful because amoxicillin has officially been in short supply over the past few weeks in the U.S. Generally, antibiotic shortages are more common than most of us realize, says Erin Fox. She's a senior pharmacy director at the University of Utah. She's been tracking antibiotic shortages in the U.S. since 2001. She says there are reasons for that.
These are older drugs. They're generic drugs. They are low-cost drugs. And so because of those characteristics, there's actually not a lot of incentive for manufacturers to have any extra on hand or any kind of backup supplies.
Fox says during the current shortage, some manufacturers say they've been hit by labor issues. But she's also been hearing from more manufacturers who say,
you know what, we are making exactly what we were asked to make. We had contracts to make, you know, X amount, and we're doing that.
But as it turns out, that's not enough this year. With the recent surge in infections, Fox says existing shortages will eat away at other antibiotic supplies. So manufacturers will need to ramp up production. Dr. Carrie Marone at the Children's Hospital at Montefiore in New York says she's not heard from her patients or her hospital pharmacy of penicillin shortages yet, but reports from peers in other states have alarmed her.
If it actually becomes a on short supply, the ramifications are huge. I'm like so nervous about that.
Children with sickle cell could die from preventable infections. So many providers say they aren't waiting until it gets to that point before they start sounding the alarm. I'm Farah Yusri, Side Effects Public Media.
Side Effects Public Media is a regional reporting collaboration focused on public health. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be cloudy and breezy today, with showers and thunderstorms likely, and a high of 53 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Jim Meadows, Colin Highslope, and Fada Yusri. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.